And turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19 for a message this morning. I thought about Gavin's comment, the preacher isn't spirit-led. He might as well sit down. And it would be nice if the Spirit would give me a message. But I have found I have to work pretty hard for it sometimes to get it to all come together. So there's man's part and God's part. I trust as we look into God's Word this morning, His Spirit, the Spirit will speak through the Word. And I trust that He will do that for us this morning. That's my prayer for myself and for you. We would learn more about Jesus today. I'd like to read four verses that Luke gives to us a picture of Jesus as he was on his way up to Jerusalem for the last time. And we call this the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And Luke records something for us that the other gospel writers do not record for us. He gives us a little picture of Jesus that I think is worthy of our time this morning to meditate on and to think about. So one thing I've been impressed with recently is Jesus and being able to find little snapshots that unveil his heart to us today. And they can be very comforting and also challenging. Luke chapter 19 and verse 41. And when he was come near, speaking of Jesus, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. We have back in verse 28 a little bit of a context here to these verses. Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, and in verse 41 he was still drawing near yet. And so the verses in between, Jesus was on this road headed to Jerusalem, and he was still on his way when verse 41 happens, where we broke into there. And there's a contrast that Luke gives to us in verse 37, 36, and 38. We have the throngs of people, great crowds, lining the road that went up to Jerusalem, and they were laying their garments on the road for Jesus to ride on with the donkey that he had gotten, was never ridden before. And they were singing and praising God with loud voices for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And so just try to put yourself into this picture. You yourself standing by the roadway, getting caught up with the excitement and the throngs of people and the emotion of this hour. We have those Pharisees rebuking the disciples. It seems like they were even caught up into this thing. Verse 37, the disciples were rejoicing, and he told Jesus, tell them to be quiet. And Jesus said, well, if they were to be quiet, even the stones would cry out. And so we have this picture of just a celebration. And it seems like people were excited and joyful. And then we go right into verse 41. It's almost like a grinding of the gears. It's like from going from joyful, just proclamation of the King is coming to Jerusalem. And the King himself says that he wept. He wept over it. Jesus, as he was riding to Jerusalem, became so stirred in his emotions that he wept. He heard and he saw the praises that were being sung to him, and he saw through it for what it was. It was just a show. It wasn't real. And he wept. And we can read right over that and miss the intensity of that word wept over. It seems pretty not too big of a deal. Sort of calm. But no, this Greek word speaks of great lamentation and uncontrollable sobbing, crying that cannot be contained, just loud wailing. This is what Jesus did as he was on the way to Jerusalem with the crowd singing praises to him. He begins to weep and to wail, crying that you and I probably have never cried like before. Perhaps you have. This wasn't in a quiet place. This wasn't in his bedroom where Jesus cried like this. This was in public. This was with hundreds of people probably surrounding him. And he shed tears. Great lamentation. And he cried. And in that crying, he spoke words. And he spoke words of judgment upon these people. I wonder what happened to those crowds as they were singing, shouting, praising Jesus, and their king that they were holding up begins to weep uncontrollably. And then he begins to sobbingly speak these words to them. What kind of effect did that have on those people that day? Well, this was a moving scene. Jesus is weeping. There's a quote that I found. I'm not sure who wrote it. It's from way long ago, but it says this: there is a sacredness in tears. They are not the mark of weakness, but of power. They speak more elegantly than 10,000 tongues. And I believe that quote fits this passage very, very well. The weeping of Jesus conveys more than what 10,000 tongues could have conveyed in this story. My Jesus and your Jesus, he knew what it was like to weep and to cry uncontrollably. I'd like to break the message into two parts: what Jesus saw, and then what he felt. What was it that prompted Jesus to cry like this, to weep like this? And as he was coming near the city, he looked and he wept over it. And he said, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Jesus saw the city. He saw the landscape. He saw all the things that surrounded that city, but he saw way more than that. That's not what moved Christ to tears. It wasn't what he saw over the walls. I don't know what he could all see physically. But it was much more than he could see, than you could see with your eye. He saw their sinful blindness. If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, but now they're hid from thine eyes. Why? Because he said, thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Before Jesus, we have the shouting crowds, we have the palm branches and the clothes on the road. Jerusalem is right in the forefront of them. In this city is located God's house. In these walls are God's priests. In these walls are the covenant people. This is where the 12 tribes came back for the annual feast every year. Within these walls, millions of bulls and goats, their blood had been shed year after year. All of that pointed forward to the Lamb of God, which was to come, and now he was there in their midst. There he was. It was the holy city, the city of God, Mount Zion. Jerusalem was God's special dwelling place. God told Solomon when he built his temple, he says this in 1 Kings chapter 9. He told Solomon after the temple was dedicated, "The Lord said, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever. And mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually." This was where God was dwelling. This was a promise to King Solomon. God said, my eyes and my heart are going to be here in this place. This is where I will meet with you. But yet, Jesus saw all of that, that day, the specialness of that city. No other city on earth had been this privileged. No other city on earth had such a heritage as rich as this city had. So many prophets had prophesied within her walls. Even many godly people lived within those gates of that city. Even the name itself, Jerusalem, speaks of peace. What a heritage. What a privilege. But they were blinded. They could not see. But now they are hid from thine eyes, the things which make or belong unto thy peace. It seems at first glance that these people that were singing, it seemed like they accurately saw Jesus for who he was. The singing and the rejoicing. And they said really great things. But sadly, they did not. They did not understand who this Jesus was. They wanted him to deliver them from the cruel rule of the Romans. They wanted a deliverer. They did want someone to deliver them. But they wanted somebody to deliver them from the externals, from the things that were external. But that's not man's problem this morning. They couldn't see their deeper need. Their problem, our problem, all of man's problem today is not externals. It is internal. It's within your heart. It's sin. That is what you and I need to be saved from. That's the deliverer that you and I need to have. But these people, they completely missed the mark. So religious these people were. So religious, but yet they missed it. They were blind to their spiritual need, to their internal need of a Messiah. They had eyes to see, and they saw not. They had ears to hear, but they heard not. This was their day of visitation. The Messiah was in their midst. And Jesus walked on those very streets. He was known in the marketplace. Even the children knew this man. Jesus held them on his lap. The children knew Jesus. They knew who he was. He preached in those synagogues. He healed their sick and he freed many who were held captive by demons. The way and the truth and the life was right there in their midst, and they didn't see it. So much in love with themselves. They didn't see it. John 1 verse 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. John chapter 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They would not see Jesus as the Savior of sinful men. And Jesus is saying in this passage, your eyes have now become blinded to it. You cannot see it. It's hid from your eyes. And so when Jesus began to cry, it was because he saw their sinful blindness that prompted his tears. How is it with you and I this morning? Aren't we among some of the most privileged people on the face of the earth? Some of us have rich heritages that have been passed down to us through the generations. How much like are we like these people in this day? So much good teaching and preaching that comes to us. What kind of eyes and ears do you have today? We can look back in the past and look at history and the revivals and the movings in the past and the people of God and become inspired by that. But today, it's you and I today is our day of visitation. We cannot live on the former days. It's not going to be enough. So this morning, these people were so privileged and they were so religious, but yet they were lost. And that's possible for you and I today. The second thing that he saw that broke, that made him cry out, is he saw their swift end. In verse 43, Jesus says, "For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Jesus saw what their willful blindness was leading to. In just a short, less than 40 years from when Jesus spoke these words, we have the Roman army coming against Jerusalem. Titus was the general of that army. And Jesus, I believe, could see with clarity the heart-breaking judgments that were going to pour out upon this city that he was looking at, the people in the city. He saw that with clarity that you and I could not have seen it in that time, but he saw it. He saw it. And he wept great, uncontrollable tears. It was a heart-wrenching time, the misery that descended upon this place that was so privileged and so blessed. He saw the horror. He saw the desperation of people that were trapped, besieged about thee on every side. They weren't able to get out. They were trapped in. Josephus gives us some glimpses into this time, and I know some historians say it's not quite, the way he says it's not quite accurate, but regardless, it was a terrible time that these people experienced. People were coming back for feasts, and they were letting them into the city, but they couldn't get out. And so we have hundreds of thousands of people within these walls. Food ran out. Jesus saw the more than 600,000 who would starve to death within that city. He saw the body count of more than 1 million people that were going to die. He saw 97,000 people bound up in chains, taken off as captives. He saw the fury fire that was going to burn through that city with great destruction. He saw the blood that was going to run down the streets, that was going to put out some of the fires. So great was the bloodshed. Even Titus himself said, surely we must be servants of the Almighty God to have been able to come into his people and destroy them so utterly. That sight prompted Jesus to break into great wailing. But I don't think we should just stop with earthly judgments, because that's not the end. People live forever, even after suffering terribly here. Death is not the end. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Jesus saw eternal souls heading for destruction. And Jesus is weeping over their soon coming doom. He saw it all. This is your compassionate Savior this morning. This is mine. He's so willing that all would come to him, but so many reject him and turn him away. Well, he saw their swift end, and he cried out with great, uncontainable tears. The third thing he saw was he saw their lost opportunity. Verse 42, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, if only you had seen the things which belong unto thy peace. But thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. What a phrase that is, the time of thy visitation. Time. This was their time of visitation. And Jesus was heartbroken because they had not seen it. They had not seen that this was their day of opportunity. They missed it. Well, Zechariah, when the angel came to him and told him that they were going to have a son, and Zechariah said, well, that's impossible, we're too old for that. And the angel said, well, you won't be able to speak until he's born. And so Zacharias was dumb until the child was born. After he was born, John the Baptist, Zechariah said this. He said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Zechariah saw this day of visitation. He was one of the people who saw and understood that this was their day of visitation. The Lord hath visited and redeemed his people. There was another group of people that also saw and understood that this was their day of visitation. Also found in Luke chapter 7, we have that widow's son from Nain, and he had passed away. They were carrying him out of the city. And Jesus met them as they were coming forth out of the city. And he brought him back to life again. And those people, says of them, and there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. Those people from the city of Nain, they recognized that God had come. This was their opportunity. This was their day of visitation. They saw it. But the majority of Jews, especially the leaders of the Jews, they would not comprehend who Jesus really was. There he was in their midst, and they didn't like him. He's a carpenter's son. He's from Nazareth. He's a friend of sinners. glutton, he's a drunkard. His power, yeah, he has power, but it's not from God, it's from a demon. This is how these people spoke. Look, they saw all the miraculous, all the miracles, they saw them all, but that was not enough to convince them that Jesus was the Son of God. All that heard him, their testimony was, never a man spoke like this man. This man has words that are so pure and kind and searches right into our hearts. There's no man that ever spoke like this man. But they couldn't. They couldn't. They would not see Jesus for who he was. Their time of visitation, Jesus said, was passing them by. It was being hid from their eyes. Judgment on sinners is completely on them. It's not because of a failure on Jesus' part. It's not due to a lack of compassion on the part of Jesus. Every person this morning has time of visitation where God will come and visit you and visit your soul. Time is in motion. There's an unknown deadline that each of us have. We don't know when our time is over. Time is in motion. In fact, James 4 says it's like a vapor. It's gone so quickly. The sun will set on your day of visitation. And it's over. Your opportunity is over. God will visit your soul no more. And what you would not see and what you would not do becomes what you cannot see and what you cannot do. And so this morning, to myself and to us all, don't neglect the opportunities that stare you right in your face. This is your day of visitation. This is your day of opportunity. A time will come. If left unheeded, he'll visit you no more. Don't make the same mistake as these people did, and they passed it by. These Jews, living in the city of peace, rejected the Prince of Peace. They exchanged a visitation of mercy for a visitation of desolation and judgment. As Jesus saw the realities of their lost opportunities and the time that was fast going by, he wept and he wailed. That's what Jesus saw on that Palm Sunday as he enters into Jerusalem. I didn't know what to title the message this morning. Titles can just be difficult. We call this the triumphal entry. I think it should be called the tearful entry. That's the title of the message this morning. It's the tearful entry. Jesus wept over the people in the city because of their blindness, because of their coming doom, and because the time of their visitation was over. What did Jesus feel? What Jesus felt? Verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. I thought about that song that we sing sometimes when I survey the wondrous cross. In the third verse, I think it is, it says, Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? And I think that fits the feeling of this picture. Love and sorrow have met in this picture. Such love and such sorrow. Jesus felt compassion that you and I probably have never felt. Jesus saw in just a few days that cross on Calvary's Hill. He saw the pain and suffering he was going to have to endure. He heard the cries of these crowds of people, if it likely was the same groups of people. Away with him. Crucify him. We don't want to see his face no more. Be done with him. He heard, he saw, he knew all of that. But he wept. He didn't respond in indignation and impatience with these people, but with compassion and love for these people. That was the overriding emotion of this scene, was compassion on the part of Jesus. In fact, he had told them prior, back in Luke chapter 13, he said this. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." Jesus longed to gather these people into his arms. He longed to gather them in. And the invitation came over and over again. But they would not. They would not. They chose desolation over being gathered in. This is what people do. This is what you and I are tempted to do. We chose desolation versus being gathered in. Jesus is longing to gather everyone unto himself. And he wept because they would not let him gather them up. Romans 10 verse 21, "But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." All day long, Christ is holding out his arms today yet to a gainsaying and disobedient people. Come, I want to gather you in. Reveals the heart of our Savior. This is his heart for sinners, those even who crucified him, who hated him. He had such compassion for these people. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" Do you see the heart of Jesus? This is Jesus. This is our Savior. He's speaking to us through the words of Scripture today. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 18. "Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." Oh, if only, this is Jesus. This is his compassion. Even towards these most privileged people on the earth, this is his heart cry to them. He weeps over their disobedience and their rebellion. Well, today is our day of visitation. J.A. Alexander wrote this poem. I think it's in a song form now, but he says this: "There is a time, we know not when, a point we know not where, that marks the destiny of men to glory or despair. There is a line by us unseen that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's patience and his wrath. Oh, come today. Do not delay. Too late it soon will be. To Jesus, fly, for mercy cry. He waits to welcome thee. What will you and I, brothers and sisters, what are we to do with the tears of Jesus this morning? What do we do with these tears? Very briefly, there's three things. I felt in these four verses, I felt a rebuke to me, and maybe to you. I just do not love sinners as much as my Savior does. When have you ever been moved to tears as you thought about the neighbor that lives right beside you who is not ready to meet the Lord? The man you work with day after day? The man who stops in at your shop, who doesn't know Jesus? Have you ever become moved with tears because you see their end and the despair of it all? Jesus spared no tears over perishing sinners, and he wept for them, tears of compassion. That's the rebuke that I felt in this passage. And I needed that. So my neighbor man out behind us, he walks outside his garage very often. He smokes. His health is bad. He doesn't know the Lord. But I never wept over him. But Jesus would. He sees their end. Second thing for us here today is there is deep comfort in this passage as well. Jesus wept. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus knew what it was like to cry. He understands tears today. And so if you cry today, Christ understands you. He sees them. He knows how you feel. He really does understand. Not tears like Esau cried, tears of rebellion and anger, but tears of faith and trust. Maybe even hurt and pain has come into our lives. Christ understands the tears and the wounds that we face and we have and we hurt. Christ understands that. Will we let his light come into our wounds to heal them? There may still be a scar, but that's okay. Christ can heal us. He can heal you. There's overwhelming encouragement for us here as well. If Jesus felt this love and compassion so great towards sinners, do you and I even begin to understand the love that Christ has for his own? Like, do we even begin to comprehend how deep his love is for us? How strong it is for us? Do we have a right perspective of the love of Jesus today? If he's so moved to tears by disobedient people, how much more is he moved by those who are redeemed and bought by his own precious blood? How much more does he love those people? I just so much underestimate the love of Jesus. And that's felt in this passage. And I want you to feel it. Wade into the deeper waters this morning of the love of Jesus. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves us. Well, Jesus wept that day. And very soon, there's coming a day that will cry no more. It's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. This man that became this God-man who wept, and we weep and we cry today. But there's coming a day where he's going to tenderly wipe the tears from our eyes, and we'll cry no more. There'll be no more tears. Only if we're found, bought, and ready to go. Is your house in order today? You ready for the last tear to be dried? It could be today. I don't know. Today may be the day of the end of tears for me. May God help us. May this passage encourage us. May it challenge us. And may we be impressed with how much love Jesus has for you and me today. Let's kneel to prayer.